welcome back to Cinema Vino. This could be our third adventure of live to tape.
Jesus.
So, yeah, and we're our third bottle of wine for three people, so this is going to be just a fantastic voyage,
I'm as Coolio
said.
Oh, yeah.
We are...
Hashtag Hootenanny.
Yeah, we're just good and sauced. Hashtag Hootie and the Blowfish, the cracked rear view.
Gary Trucker. Hold my hand.
Exactly. That was a hell of a band in the 90s. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It was the band of the 90s.
Yeah. I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to just keep going. So we're going to take a look at Loki episodes 5 and 6, last two episodes of the series on Disney Plus. And we will assume that if you're here for this, you've seen the other episodes and you're up to date. Otherwise, spoiler alert, and go back and watch and then join us. And so... basically, for those who have seen, it's like these episodes wind up the story arc of Loki in this series and his adventures post. And it's weird, like chronologically, it's like post endgame, but pre endgame.
Right.
It's like wrapping up his story after it's already ended. It's kind of confusing in a way. But, I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on those. And on the series as a whole. And so, Tay, we'll start with you. What do you think?
Sweet. Okay. So here, before the podcast started, before the bottles of wine came out, I did ask Travis a few questions. Again,
I'm very smart.
Well, I'm just repeating myself, but it's just a phenomenal. I really, really like it. You know, I thought Owen Wilson was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
The cinematography, you know, just everything is just good. You know, I like it, but I'm just that visual guy, and you know, the acting's great, the screenwriting's great. I have a problem sometimes with time travel, and I understand that that's like what they're doing here. Mm-hmm. I do feel like that it was a nice wrap up in this last episode. The main thing that I had where I just wasn't into this series, and I told Travis before. I think the reason why is because it was coming out on a Wednesday.
Yeah,
I just didn't have the motivation to watch it. But P.S. I don't party as much as I used to. But when that stuff came out on Friday, I was watching that every single Friday night. It's like that was like my thing. It was like we sat down, we watched it, we drank probably more than we should have. We put our hands in places that were very interesting.
R.U.P.
Yeah.
We clutched each other and were trembling.
Exactly.
A lot of Mandalorian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in the Wednesday, it was almost an afterthought. And I had to force myself, literally, to watch the last two episodes. It was like, because it just seemed to be an afterthought. But WandaVision, now granted, I missed the first three episodes, I think, and I binge-watched it. But you damn well believe, Friday night, we were watching WandaVision.
Yeah.
But Loki was very hard to keep on top of.
One thing that we have not discussed, and this is my theory. I don't know if we've come down with a ironclad reason why they were put out on Wednesdays, but this is nerdy. But Wednesday, the name is derived from Odin. Like Thor, like Thursday is from Thor's day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Odin is Woden. So Wednesday makes sense of why they would debut it on basically Loki's adopted dad.
Yeah. We also talked about this right before, and then obviously pre-COVID, a lot of studios started just dropping the movies on Wednesdays so that they, you know, a lot of people, if you drop a movie on a Friday, people are like, well, it's a weekend. We already have some plans. We're doing A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And then you just get two extra days. If you do it on a Wednesday, you get like theaters aren't going to be as busy. You get more, you know, families that might try and hit it then.
Yeah.
But, and when they record, again, and when they talk about recording movie theater box office numbers, like baseball, they would always say, but that's not taking into account that it came out on Wednesday, so this is not counting the Wednesday, Thursday ticket sales. This is just the normal Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because they kept reporting, like, these huge-ass numbers.
Well, it's like, if you release it on a Wednesday, if you believe the superstition, the club has already gone up on a Tuesday.
Oh, so yeah.
It's very true.
Very good true. Timing week-wise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you don't have that to worry about anymore. The club's already gone up.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll say this, because I know we're on a short time span, and Travis is, you know, the resident guru, is you, and, you know, rest in peace, Sean.
I'm pretty smart.
I'm sure he'll be back. But it was the ending I thought was great.
Yeah.
It did wrap the series up. The last 20 minutes, I was like, wow, we're just going to keep.
Oh, episode six?
Yeah, episode six. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just going to go real quick on mine. It's like, I was like, wow, we are just going to say, hey, if you didn't watch this series, you watch these 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we'll take care of you.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I'm here for that. I'm like, great.
I'm going to hop in just real quick. We will refer to the person at the end of episode six, the one who remains.
Yeah.
Just call him Kang.
Yeah, exactly.
He's Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
So just to make it easy.
And that's, you know, and like I did love, because I watched things on, you know, closed caption.
Yeah.
That's what the closed caption actually said. You know, was he who remains?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's pretty cool. But yeah. I did my little research and that was Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
And so I not
subtle.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was a great series. I will say the only negative thing for me was I was still not being the comic book guy as Travis too. I was like, man, what the hell was the TVA? Because like, again, I know there's a short amount of time. You can only do certain stuff, but it's like, man, I feel like, you know, the timekeepers were just kind of like, oh, here they are. Oh, there they go.
Yeah.
You know, and again, when you get into time travel and everything, nothing means anything. But I did overall like the series. Again, it was a tough swallow for me because it was on Wednesday.
Swallow.
Yeah. Hello. But yeah, great series. It just like Black Widow, it moved the Marvel Universe forward. And, you know, they will produce something bad soon. Yeah. And hopefully.
Oh, it's like Thor of the Dark World.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Touche.
The Ryan Reynolds or the Deadpool Korg thing. At the last thing, he was like, I prefer Dark World.
Yeah.
And no, they will for sure.
Yeah.
Am I the only one, you guys can stop me, that got a little bit... got a little bit of the Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey from all this.
Oh, it's my God.
Where Loki kind of goes to purgatory and has to battle his way out of it.
Yeah.
And has to kind of face a nightmare land to deal with it.
I was kind of hoping someone was going to at least strum a guitar. You know, just like the air guitar.
Station.
You know, like, yeah.
But yeah, it's like he kind of has to battle his way out of hell.
For sure.
To deal with this.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, there wasn't exactly, I mean, I guess Kang in this analogy would be the devil or the Grim Reaper, but...
Which they actually made that reference in there. They he made a comment like, "Hey, if I'm the devil, you know," and he was
the devil, you know,
if I'm the devil, you know, there's much worse out there.
Which is from the proverb, "The devil you know, beat the devil you don't."
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I also from that entire situation got a little bit of a devil's advocate, Al Pacino, Keanu Reeves vibe, where it's like that it was kind of the devil's chance to strut. You know,
yeah,
you know, who could deny the 20th century was entirely mine?
Kevin. Oh yeah.
I will say in that little
fully movie devil's advocate.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Who is the actor that, you know,
played Kang?
Yeah.
Jonathan Majors from Lovecraft Country.
I got to say, he really killed it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, at one point I thought, man, is this getting a little overacting? I thought he killed it, man. I mean, really got us in, like, maybe I was just agitated, but I thought he killed that whole speech and everything.
Yeah.
Killed
so
it.
They had, and I'll talk more about episode five, but
yeah, sorry.
About Jonathan Majors and Kang the Conqueror, whatever, One Who Remains. There's a version in the comics. It was Kang the Conqueror is the baddest of the bad version of him. And then in the future, Kang is like, oh, I see the, you know, error of my ways. And in the future, he becomes another named character called Immortus. And that is kind of the costume the guy was wearing, that he who remains. So that was really, he's more Immortus on this. I don't know why they didn't use that name. But and he becomes much more benign, but still kind of a villain. That's what he was in this, basically.
Yeah.
He was more about order, keeping it all together. He's like, all right, we've got it pretty well situated. But then, you know, they've basically released Kang now. And Kang is set to be in Ant-Man and the Wasp. And then I'm sure he's going to be a big, huge villain for, I don't know, kind of like Thanos, maybe the next 10 years of Marvel films. What I'm interested, though, is to see if they use any other variants of characters. I really want them to redeem Taskmaster from Black Widow. I would love to see a variant is a more comic accurate Taskmaster. But you know,
that's Travis really hurts over Taskmaster.
My butt is hurt. I'm butt hurt.
Hashtag butthurt.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, we got silent there.
Yeah. So the episode five is their big. It's kind of like Game of Thrones, where the second to last episode, the penultimate episode of each season.
Oh, good word.
Was like what they shot their wad on, like money and effects and all that. Obviously, they're fighting this giant cloud called the Void with all these other Lokis. And was it Richard E. Grant?
Mm-hmm. Great actor.
Played classic Loki, which is more of a comic accurate Loki. And is just, they show he's super powerful, cool. They even show evil Loki that had the cool little the sports coat and the,
yeah,
I forget which Loki they called
President
that.
Loki. Mm-hmm.
But they had Alligator Loki, which is an allusion to, in the comics, Loki at some point managed to turn Thor into a frog, and there was Frog Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone through to look at all the Easter eggs, but apparently, I guess Frog Thor shows up in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually, and I didn't catch it at first, I just saw a helicopter that said Thanos, and I was like, wow, all right, that's, weird. But in the comics, either in an ad for, a Hostess fruit pie or in an actual comic, Thanos was trying to get away and had just a yellow shitty helicopter that said Thanos on the side. why the fuck does Thanos need a helicopter? It will fly.
Yeah.
There was just a ton of Easter eggs in that episode five. And the biggest thing I want to talk about, episode was great. I loved everything. That fucking score slaps.
Yeah.
So much so that I hopped on Spotify. I was like, I want to listen to especially that song from the fifth episode. And it's not released yet. It will be released on July 23rd. But I believe her name, Natalie Holt, was the composer for all of Loki. Natalie Holt definitely has a lot of sex. She fucks.
Oh.
She does very well. Well done. Kudos to you. The album slaps.
Back to Black Widow briefly. That began.
And it is on Spotify.
That began with the cover of, I believe it was Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. And that's what I said. And I think when I texted you guys, I was like, I will say, Marvel's got the money. Their soundtracks are damn
strong.
Damn good.
Well, and the beginning of Loki episode six starts with the song for that Cap is dancing with Peggy too at the very end of Endgame.
Yeah, and that's going to bother me that I can't think of what that is.
Me once again, or whatever that.
God yeah, damn it, it's not Don't Get Around Much Anymore, but it's something kind of like Gershwin kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I can't think of what it is. It's going to bug me because now I've got the other songs stuck in my head.
But everybody, I saw a meme about damn it, Marvel, why are you trying to make me cry right at the beginning, Marvel credits of Loki episode six? Because they had all the Wakanda Forever and Higher, Further, Faster, all of the quotes as it started. And it's showing kind of the walls are breaking between the realities, and it's all branching out, so you're hearing all that stuff at once.
Yeah.
Everything's unraveling.
Yeah. But yeah, like you guys have said, great soundtracks to everything that Marvel's done lately. It's been really strong. But I'm trying to think. I'm going back. It's I can't remember who composed the Black Widow soundtrack, but it was pretty strong. And yeah, great dark use of Nirvana.
Yeah,
it's I'm glad that stuff's coming back around and being used, especially because it begins in the '90s.
Yeah,
in the mid '90s,
100%.
So, but yeah, I enjoyed
Black Widow soundtrack was by Lorne Balfe,
who has done the last few Mission Impossible movies as well.
Oh, and you've been on an MI kick.
I haven't watched them yet.
Which
I keep looking. I'm like, damn it, I have to pay for these? Fuck that.
MI3 is on one of our lists to do, and I may do a whole dive on the Mission Impossible.
Because MI1, that is my jam.
Yeah.
Taylor was saying that, too. I mean, I know we're talking about Loki, but he was like, that's the standalone, first Mission Impossible is badass.
It's the best, in my opinion. But it's the best.
It's Brian De Palma, famous director, who did The Untouchables, did Scarface, did a ton of stuff, and actually wrote the opening crawl for Star Wars.
So Tom Hiddleston, sexy as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm just getting this back.
Oh, that was it? Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. That's good. Yeah. It steers back in that direction. Great performance. I mean, it's again, he kind of orients the character more towards what he was in Infinity War. Like you say, he kind of plays him more toward that direction. Because it's I thought he was pretty one-dimensional in Avengers. Not in a bad way, but he was just the heavy. He was the heel.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And somebody else mentioned they had a a theory that each one of these six episodes represented one of the Infinity Stones. And that the first episode, I don't know all, I can't remember all of them, but I know the third episode where they're on Lamentus and it's all like the purple backdrop on that planet is supposed to be the Power Stone. And that, and that, and the last episode I think was supposed to represent the Tesseract, mm-hmm. like bringing him back full circle.
Another allusion I got to the
and that all every single episode is shaded in the hue of that Infinity Stone. Continue.
Interesting, and I have to go back and look at that. With a Devil's Advocate, it's like basically where Al Pacino tries to tempt Keanu Reeves in the movie, where it's like, you know, it's like whatever you want. It's like you want that jury melting in your hands. Yeah. It's like the basically it's like that gets offered to both Loki variants, Loki and Sylvie.
Do you
it's
want
like,
to be Thanos?
It's like, you can, like whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, it's the devil. It's like tempting. It's like, to me, that's the ultimate, like, lure of the devil is his, what he offers has to be extremely tempting or he wouldn't be the devil. You know, it's like, and who could possibly outrank Loki in terms of that sort of villainy? It's like, whatever you want, you know, you want to be king of Asgard, done. You know, if you want to, like, you know, whatever you want, you got it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, basically, it puts those two characters in the ultimate test of temptation. It's like, you know, I'm going to push you to the brink, and you have to turn it down to keep going. Mm-hmm.
You know what this also reminded me of? Because I watched Doctor Who, and obviously that's nothing but about, like, time travel. There's a character in there that is named Dr. River Song, and when you first meet her, she dies. But the Doctor, as he's a time traveler, like, he sees her again and again. And every time he sees her, he knows her more, and she knows him a little less. So they're on opposite timelines.
Interesting.
And that seems like what we've done here with Immortus becoming Kang.
Yeah.
Because you see him at the end of his life die, and then you're going to see him much, much more in different ways later.
Yeah.
It was a really cool thing in Doctor Who, but it's interesting to see how they're going to use it and play out. Because obviously, Marvel, all those guys, I'm for damn sure there's at least a few Doctor Who nerds in the bunch that are going to bring this to bear. And obviously, we've talked about how, like, you know, we've got the Marvel timeline. And, you know, as I've said often, and I'm always right, at the end of Endgame, they use time travel to fix their problem. Well, obviously, Kang is going to come in and be like, all right, you're not going to be able to do this all the time. Time travel can be a problem, and if you always try and rely on it, we're going to fuck you up. And then that's how they're going to be like, well, shit, we can never fucking do that again. Look what bad shit happened.
Yeah.
So there will always be those characters that use time travel and they can, you know, use it sparingly. But if every time somebody dies, they can be like, oh, shit, Tony died. And then go back and try and, like, save Tony right there.
Yeah. It cheapens everything.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're a character like Doctor Who and that's your bailiwick, that's your wheelhouse, fuck yeah. But yeah, that there's going to be those time traveling characters all throughout, and Kang is a badass character. Like I'm looking forward to all of Phase 4, 5, maybe 6. I don't know when it's going to come to fruition, but this is the impetus. This is the nugget. This is what's going to start us off. I mean, they're going to do Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think that's going to come from? The multiverses, all these variants. This is going the whole damn thing off.
And Quantum Mania too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a 2-part question for you. So let's take
Boxers.
That's a lie.
And yes, I will. Okay, so take Kang the Conqueror versus Thanos, like prime Thanos, in a fight. Who wins that?
If Thanos does not have the Infinity Gauntlet, then Kang might know exactly what's going to happen.
God if you do damn, it, like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, Kang is just, he's just a dude, but he has like 41st century technology. So he has like a fancy little Iron Man type suit and all that kind of. Basically, he's got, I'm sure, PEM particles or some shit. Like he can reach into a portal and pick out a gun and start shooting.
You know, he did mention. He doesn't
do a lot of fighting, though. He does mostly manipulation. So pound for pound, like Thanos is beefy AF. But, you know, it could go either way.
They actually mentioned that in the dialogue where he was like, it's the 31st century. And I was like, what? I was like,
I caught that too. It's like, that's Kang.
And I was like, that was a long dialogue, but that was really cool. He's like, 31st century. I'm like, I like where this is going. It upsets me a little bit, but I like where this is going.
It reminds me of Groundhog Day when Bill Murray's leading Andy McDowell around. He's like, maybe God's not omnipotent. He's been around so long, he knows everything.
Yeah. That's 100% Kang. He just knows what's going to happen all the time.
Yeah.
Because it says he's been a ruler, a conqueror. And I was like, ruler? Hello. He was Ramatut way back in ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Conqueror. He's been Kang the Conqueror. Like, yep, I get it. 100. And then he's kind of a steward at some point where he's just like trying to correct time.
Yeah.
But he does it in a shitty way, and that's Immortus. But
now I'm really going to bake your noodle.
Do it.
Taskmaster versus Batman.
Like, Batman's going to win. But I mean, Taskmaster's going to, like, Taskmaster will get his ass beat, but he'll know more of Batman's moves for the next time they fight. That's the problem.
So the second fight, Taskmaster will win.
I mean, not necessarily, because Batman is the best fighter in DC. So it just, depends how many moves he's able to beat Taskmaster's ass in.
So let's say...
He also just watches, like, newscasts and stuff to watch, like, heroes, you know, fight and stuff. And he just, you know, he honestly... Every like sports team, he goes back, he watches the tape.
Yeah.
And obviously he did that in the Black Widow movie. But we're talking about Loki, goddammit.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
we got 3 minutes.
Okay. So, closing thoughts. You guys enjoyed the series. What would you say? Scale of 1 to 10 overall, how much you enjoy it?
Well, I'm gonna be somewhat negative here because
Nancy.
And it's my own fault. The Wednesdays were rough for me, so I wasn't on top of it as much as I was at WandaVision.
Yeah.
And I will say that WandaVision stayed, they were very forward. There was no, you know, time hop. I mean, well, actually, there was time hopping. There was tons of it. But I will say if I would give the whole series, you know, a 7.
Yeah.
I think it was the best standalone series. But Todd, what are we drinking?
Now,
we're going to go back. Yeah, for the Black Widow, we're going to go retroactive and say we were doing Cult Cabernet Sauvignon at a Lodi. That appealed to me because it seemed like the Red Room and that whole situation were pretty cult-like. It was like an indoctrination, a brainwashing. So both Cult Cabernet and the label seemed very appropriate to that movie. For this one, we're doing the Prunus, which the Prunus, I believe, is a red blend. It's a dry red. Prunus sounds like pruning, which is exactly how people were weeded out of the TVA. So,
but Prunus is also very close to penis.
Mm-hmm. But it also is very close to prunes, which sometimes red wine can taste similar to. I'll post links to these on cinemavino.net where you can find these.
So I liked Loki. I think it's the best Disney series we've gotten that's Marvel-related. For me, it goes Loki, then WandaVision, then Cap and Winter Soldier.
I was going to say the same thing. It's like, I think Falcon Winter Soldier, which I loved, I raved about it, the bottom of those.
Yeah, it didn't... There's something about it that didn't just trip my trigger.
I'm kind of the same. Like, I want to rewatch it, but I don't know what it was.
Slow or something. I like the
that was also version, but very dialogue heavy.
And I thought the villains were kind of shitty in it. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
But WandaVision was great. The first, every 3 episodes was its kind of like little own deal. But Loki really kept me engaged the whole time. I thought Owen Wilson was great. I loved the antagonistic relationship with him and Loki, and like honestly. It did a great deconstruction of Loki's character to get him back to where we had seen our original Loki.
Yeah.
In terms of character development. The TVA was interesting. The extra Sylvie, Lady Loki, was great. All of their, you know, hiding in the apocalypse. I knew that something Kang-related was coming, so I kept looking for those clues. And I was not disappointed at the end. You know, he was a little crazy nutso. The timekeepers, Taylor's going to ask me this. Timekeepers were a thing in the comics, and they were actually entities that were trying to keep the time stream cool and copacetic.
Yeah.
But obviously in this, they were just like, fuck them. We're going to do more Kang and stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
But the timekeepers were in charge so much where they factored into a series called What If? where Uatu, the watcher who's designated to watch, he hangs out on the moon, watches Earth, and just watches all of these events unfold. He's, you know, does spinoffs of like, okay, in variant timelines, this other thing could have happened. Like Peter Parker could have gone evil and all this. So that's the animated series that's going to be coming out in August is called What If.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got What If Peggy Carter had become Captain America? What If T'Challa had become one of the Guardians of the Galaxy? They've got a bunch of those.
And didn't Chadwick Boseman voice some stuff?
I think this is one of his last roles or voiceover roles. But that'll be interesting to see because now we've from here we've got the Multiverse of Madness all spinning out. But Loki, I'd give an 8 for all that, like if not more. It was delightful, and also that soundtrack, badass.
Yeah, great value. I mean, it was well made. But yeah, we can keep going for a second. It's like I enjoyed it. I'd say I'm probably about an 8 as well.
Yeah.
Falcon Winter Soldier probably a 7. WandaVision is probably a 7 for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you. I think it's the strongest thing so far. It's like the standalone TV shows lend themselves more to like examination of the villains more so than like movies like The Joker or Venom do. It's like you can really break them down and you can give them more characters to interact with.
Yeah.
You know, to where you don't necessarily miss, like in a Venom, you don't miss Spider-Man. Or in a movie like The Joker, you don't necessarily miss Batman. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, TV gives way more, just Walter White and Breaking Bad, you get way more time with your characters and get to know them better than an hour and a half or 2 hour movie.
You get a deeper examination, which
them's facts
makes it more okay to look at the villain.
Yep.
So I hear my boy crying in the background. So this might be a good time to wrap
He's ready to party.
So this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. Taylor and Travis.
Hey.
Another live to tape adventure.
Oh, that's my new
good job, guys.
That's my new sign out.
Mine's good job, guys.
Okay.
Out with in with a bang, out with a whimper, or vice versa.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Yeah. And we thank you very much.
I love y'all.
La 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 la. Ooh boy.
To learn more about Cinema Vino, check out our website at cinemavino.net. You can also listen, rate, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at ToddWoffordMovies.com.